Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're living in amazing times because the Spirit of God is moving so powerfully. I've seen an increase in everything, in healings, in deliverances, in freedom. And even by words of knowledge, you can receive your miracle if you receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Last time I was in Tanzania, I had a very specific word of knowledge. I was ministering to preachers in Catholic evangelists in Tanzania, and I had a word of knowledge that there was a lady there with a tumor in her right breast, and I said, "Where are you?" She went like this, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I curse the root of that tumor. That tumor disappears, and you are healed. Receive it in Jesus' name." She went back to the doctor a few days later, and the doctor said, "Go back to your, there was nothing in her breast. Go back and look at what the doctor said." Thank you, Jesus. Look at what the doctor said. "Go back to your church and give thanks to the Lord Jesus for this miracle." Amen. And I've seen miracles like this all over. So when the words of knowledge are being released, release your faith and go like this and say, "This is for me. Thank you, Jesus."
Amen.
I've seen this happen in Boston. I've seen it happen in Poland. I've seen just people set free from fibromyalgia. Scoliosis being healed just like this through a word of knowledge. Back straightened out through a word of knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because you told us that you would not leave us as orphans, but that you would give us another helper. And this helper is just like you, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Because your help is unceasing, it is unending, it never stops. And we don't want to grieve you, we don't want to quench the spirit, we don't want to quench the fire ever. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you.
Help us now, Lord, in whatever way we need right this second. Help our unbelief, Lord. We want to believe, we want to be like children, not childish, but like children, that we believe what your word says. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
amen. I was born in the island of Cuba, and I came to this country when I was 10 years old because of Castro, because of communism. We came to America with a three-month mentality. We would stay here only 3 months because surely America would not allow Castro to remain in Cuba, but that's not what has happened. It's been over 50 years, and here I am. But I thank God for this nation, because it was in this nation that I found Jesus. Amen.
Jesus.
I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And if that's what it took for us to be losing our nation and our inheritance and everything, to come into another place where we can have an encounter with Jesus, I thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
So, America, I bless you. I bless this nation. I bless this nation. And I decree and declare that America is coming back to its roots. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. So I come from a family that we were dead Catholics, okay? We were Catholics in name only. Just people that were baptized, got married in church, received the sacraments, but there was no conversion. Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely no conversion. In my family, I never saw a Bible. I never saw my parents pray. In my extended family, the same thing. In my our circle of friends, the same thing. I never heard anyone mention the name of Jesus. So we were like baptized pagans. Amen? Life was really good. There was no need, quote unquote, no need for this Jesus. And so on my mother's side of the family, I come from doctors. My grandfather was a brilliant doctor in Havana. My great uncle, my mother was a doctor. I have all these aunts that were doctors. My brother is a doctor. I have a son that is a doctor. I have all these doctors on my side of the family. And then on my father's side of the family, lawyers and businessmen and a lot of money. So that is my background. There was no place for God. Amen? If there was a hero in my family, it was my grandfather, who was a 33rd degree level Mason. So we came to America and nothing changed spiritually. You know, it was that self-reliance and that self-dependence on self You know, we are really bright. We can make it on our own. I mean, God was not a part of the picture, okay? I want you to understand where I came from. Amen?
Amen.
So I went through the university, and when I finished university, I was totally in love with the world and everything the world had to offer. And I married a Cuban-American just like me, and his family was like multimillionaires. They were one of the few Cuban families that were able to take out of Cuba a lot of money because almost everyone lost everything. But this family was able to take a lot of money out of Cuba, and in America they quadrupled it. So I got married to somebody just like me. We were both in love with the world. In 1 John chapter 2, John says, "Do not love the world or anything that is of the world. If not, the love of the Father is not in you." So I had never experienced the love of God. I had never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus. I did not know the Lord. I had a knowledge of religion, and I used to win the awards for catechism every year because I had a good memory, but I was totally lost, okay? If I would have died, I would have gone to hell because I did not know the Lord, and I had no interest in the things of God. So I married somebody just like me, and I found myself with a blank check in my hand, and I could buy anything I wanted. I could travel anywhere I wanted. I became a compulsive shopper. I could not stop shopping. I mean, as we had more kids and more kids, we ended up having four children. I couldn't go inside a store and just buy one. I had to buy the same thing in every color. So I was out of control, but, you know, it was fun, but I was out of control. Shopaholic, but I was out of control. And we had two children, and so in 1 year, two C-sections, and then I get pregnant again the third time. And I said, I'm not having this kid. I'm not having this baby. This is too much discomfort. It's two babies in 1 year, two C-sections. I'm not going to have this baby. And I went ahead and I had an abortion. See, that's what I learned at the university. I had not been evangelized. I had been seduced by the spirit of the world. I was in deception and believing lies. So what did they teach me? The first trimester of a baby's life, it's just a blood clot. It's not life. There is no human life in the first 3 months. So, and they said, you own your body, and you shouldn't have more than two kids anyways, because there should be zero population growth because we are abusing the planet. Well, I believed all these lies. So I got pregnant the third time, and I said, I'm having an abortion. You know, this is my body, and this is just a blood clot. A third child at this moment would be such an inconvenience. So I went ahead, and I had an abortion. Then I got pregnant twice, and we had two more babies. So life went on. Lots of money, beautiful homes, cars, vehicles, boats, everything that the world had to offer. And something happened. My sister had an encounter with Jesus. She got born again. I mean, she experienced the born again experience. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. She had married a Presbyterian, and she had attended his church for a year. She kept going back with him to church, not because she was interested in the Word of God, but she wanted to keep an eye on him, you know, to make sure, whatever. So, but after hearing the gospel, the word of God for a year being preached, she had a conversion experience. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, she was filled with joy. The revelation of Jesus just gripped her heart. And wow, I was her guinea pig. I mean, she came running to me because she knew that I was lost. Amen? And she kept talking to me about Jesus and Jesus. And I'm looking at her. I'm thinking, this woman is crazy. She has gone berserk. What is wrong with her? But for 7 years, she did not stop talking to me about Jesus, and I kept telling her to shut up. What I did not know is that for 7 years, she went back to her Presbyterian friends, and they would pray for me every Thursday that I would have an encounter with Jesus. So, thank you, Lord. I owe my conversion to Protestants. They were the ones praying for me. I did not know any saved Catholics. I did not know any Catholics that walk with the Lord. That's the truth. So anyways, what started to happen during this time that I was not even aware that there was such a thing as praying for people to get saved or to have their eyes ripped open so that they could see their need for a Savior and for salvation. Well, what started to happen to me is that in the midst of all this abundance, material abundance, all this wealth and beautiful homes and cars and everything that the world had to offer, in the midst of all of it, of this, I started to experience a dissatisfaction with my life. There was an emptiness inside of me that in spite of being married, in spite of having 4 children, in spite of having everything that I wanted, something was really missing in my life. And I could not put 2 and 2 together. I could not understand that I was so dissatisfied because Jesus was not a part of my life. Because I was living a life apart from God. I could not make that connection. I could not join the dots. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I was in darkness. I could not understand what was wrong with me. So years went by, and it kept getting worse. This feeling of my life has no meaning. My life has no purpose. There has to be something more to this life than what I have experienced. There has to be more. And I remember one day that I was weeping because I was so dissatisfied and I could not understand what was going on inside of me. My husband saw me weeping and he sort of freaks out. He looks at me like, I've given you everything. Why are you so dissatisfied? And I was just weeping and I said, there's something wrong with me. I feel an emptiness. He says, go on another vacation. I had just come from Europe. I had just spent a month in Europe. And now he's saying, go and have another vacation. This is how wealthy people solve their problems, you know, with money. You open the checkbook and they think that's it. But anyways, I told him, no, I'm not going on another vacation. I have to deal with this. There is something wrong, but it's inside of me, and I have to deal with this. If I just go on another vacation, it would just be a superficial band-aid. I need to deal with the emptiness. I need to deal with the dissatisfaction inside of me. So that was in the fall of 1987, and a few days or a few weeks later, I don't remember now, he came and said, here, go see Pope John Paul II. He's coming to Miami. And we have really good tickets. So I said, yeah, give them to me. You know, I thought the Pope was really cute. I liked his face. And his background was from a communist nation. And so I said, wow, I have things in common with this Pope. That's why I went to see the Pope, for the wrong reasons. It did not occur to me to pray and say, Lord, heal my heart or do something for me, God. I didn't even pray. I went to see the Pope for the wrong reasons. And this visit from Pope John Paul II in Miami, Florida, where I live, it was held in an outdoor arena. And let me tell you, being a tropical area, that thing was, that the meeting could not take place because there was a tropical storm with thundering and lightning. And it was just, naturally speaking, it was a disaster and everything was canceled and we were told to go back home. But in the midst of all that rain coming down, something happened to me. I was filled with the love of God. For the first time in my life, it was so awesome. It was so wonderful. And I let me tell you, I was filled with love and I just loved everybody. And I said, this has to be God. Because this is not me. I have a long list of people I hated and resented. So I knew this had to be supernatural. But suddenly, I just loved everyone. It was supernatural. It was a sovereign move of God. And I experienced being filled with the love of God. This is what Paul prays for in Ephesians chapter 3, that we would know the love of God. Amen? Anyways, so I still did not know Jesus. But the Spirit of God was doing something in me. Now I was filled with the love of God, and tasting this love and experiencing this love Nothing in the world compared to this. Amen? This was something amazing and something really wonderful. And so one of my friends that was touched by the Holy Spirit in that outdoor arena, she said, Maria, there is a charismatic prayer group that meets in the Church of the Little Flower. Why don't we go there? Every Tuesday evening at 8. I said, what did you say, Charis? What? And she said, charismatic. I said, what is that? And I had never heard that before. I had lived like a baptized pagan all my life. I mean, I had no idea. I was like clueless. I mean, all I knew was about the Holy Spirit was when we, the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. That's all I knew about the Holy Spirit. That's all I remembered about the Holy Spirit. I did not know God. And so I said, what is that, a charismatic prayer group? And she says, I don't even really know what it is, but these Catholics are different. They follow Jesus like the early church. I said, this is really interesting. I want to go. I want to experience this. So next Tuesday, we go to that prayer group, and it changed my life to see what I saw there. Amen? First of all, when I went inside that prayer group, I saw something I had never seen before. I saw happy Catholics. These Catholics had joy. They were smiling. They were happy to be alive. They had something that I did not have. I might have had more money, a bigger home. I drove the best Mercedes. I had everything the world had to offer, but you know what they had, I did not have. So I'm like looking at them, and I'm saying, these people are happy. They have joy. They have something that I don't have. And then what else? It was the men in that prayer group. And the men were with their arms stretched out to the Lord, and they were speaking spontaneously. They were not reading from a holy card. I have nothing against holy cards, okay, but it's more than reading a holy card. Amen. These men were speaking to the Lord from the gut. You know what I'm saying? It was authentic. It was genuine. It was spontaneous. It was flowing from deep within. And I'm saying, wow, I had never seen that before. And these men were saying things like, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Jesus, I surrender to you. I'm looking at them, I'm saying, wow. I was like in awe because the men in my family never spoke like that. All they talked about was medicine or business, money, politics. Never, never did I see any man in my family mention the name of Jesus or say that they would trust in God for anything. Never. So now I'm looking at this man, I'm saying, wow, this is like amazing. What else happened there? They were dancing and rejoicing. These Catholics had Bibles. I didn't even own a Bible. What else did they do? At the end of the meeting, they were laying hands on the sick people. I had never seen that before in my life. But something wonderful had happened in the meeting. They were speaking in another language. They were saying things in another language. And I was trying to discern what that was or try to identify. I said, this is not Spanish. This is not English. This is not French. This is not Italian. What is this? I had no idea. It was another language. And then they started to sing in this language. Like almost 100 people with their hands stretched out singing in this language. And I said, this is so amazing. I said, this sounds like heaven. This sounds really like heaven. This is like heaven. And I was so touched by all of that. Well, it turns out, of course, this is the prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Amen? Amen. But I had no clue that this was a gift that he brings to us when he's released in our lives. This is a prayer language. He prays with us. He praises with us. He worships with us. And I said to myself, this is really weird and strange, and I really love it. Because I had always loved strange things, and this was pretty strange. So I really like that prayer language. Anyways, so these people announced, I kept coming back to that prayer group, and these people announced that they would be having a Life in the Spirit seminar in a weekend. I didn't even know what that was, but there was something inside of me that I just wanted to go to that seminar. And I said, I signed up. I said, I want to go. I'm going to be there. And let me tell you, I went to that Life in the Spirit seminar. It was held in the leader's home. And my life totally changed, because what my sister had been trying to tell me for the last 7 years became real to me now. John 3:16, for God so loved me that he sent his only beloved son so that I would believe and not perish but have eternal life. I understood now how the Father had to send Jesus, amen, to die. And now I was taking it personal. He had to die for me, because I was a sinner, and I had lived apart from God for 37 years, and I had no revelation, and I had done my own thing, and I had lived for myself. And I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me this favor. I mean, this Savior. Amen? Yeah, and it's a grace from God. Amen? Salvation is from grace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We have been saved by grace through faith. And this is not of your own. It is a gift from God, so that no one can boast. Amen? We Catholics have to know this. We have to grow in grace. Amen? This is a gift. We cannot save ourselves. This is why Jesus had to come. Amen? So that became real. And I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered my life. And I said, Lord, I have lived for myself for 37 years. I give you the rest of my life now. And you take it and you do with me. And you do in me and with me whatever you want. Now, that's a dangerous prayer, okay? It is. It is a dangerous prayer, but that was the prayer that came from my gut. And the revelation of Jesus came. I fell in love with Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the matchmaker. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is looking for a bride. We are his bride. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I fell in love with this Jesus, that I had heard about all my life. But now he became real. And now it became the desire of my heart to get to know him. Amen? To get to know this Jesus. And so these people laid hands on me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
It's not just having a little bit of the Spirit inside of you or inside of me, because we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation. Actually, every time we go to Holy Communion, we receive that. But in me, it was the Spirit was bound. Amen? I had lived all my life as if I did not have a Holy Spirit. But what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit being released in you to its fullness. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not that I just received the fullness of the Spirit. It's that it's more that the Holy Spirit took my life. Amen? In Luke 24, verse 49, before that Jesus goes back to the Father after his resurrection, he told his disciples, and these were his followers. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Amen? So these people laid hands on me so that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And suddenly, the Spirit of God just took over my life. And I'm telling you, in a moment, I was changed. I have not stopped changing, but in that moment, I was changed. I knew that moment, that second, that I was alive for Jesus. Amen? My life had meaning and purpose now. I knew that I was alive for the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that he had a purpose for my life. I knew that there was something in me that had to be released. I knew that I could not go back to the Catholic Church and be a pew potato for the rest of my life. Amen?
Amen.
I could not be a pew potato anymore.
Amen.
Not anymore. I had a fire inside of me. I just wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. That's what happened to me. It was supernatural because I realized that except for my sister and my mother, everyone in my family, everyone that I knew was lost and on their way to hell, just like I had been. So the Lord really put a fire in my heart just to tell everyone about Jesus. The joy of the Lord came in me. Amen? The joy of the Lord, this joy to know that, wow, I have been translated, Colossians 1:13, out of darkness into the kingdom of God. Now I'm a citizen of another kingdom. Now I'm a daughter of the Most High God. Now my life is changed totally. The Holy Spirit gave me a love for the Word of God. I bought myself a Bible because I did not have one. And let me tell you, I would read this Word for hours and hours at a time. And I would just weep and weep. I mean, just enjoying the presence of God and repenting, you know, for living 37 years. I mean, with my back to God, not caring about His Word, not caring about what He had to say. But now, wow, it was awesome. I could read and I could understand this Word, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I had a desire to go to Mass now. It was not because I had to go to Mass on Sundays, but now I wanted to go to Mass. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. See, the Christian life is awesome. If you see it as just following rules and regulations, you're missing it. It's being in love with Jesus. And when we're in love, everything is easy. Amen?
Amen.
When we're in love, it becomes a joy to do things His way. Amen?
Amen.
He gives us a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36. He takes away from us the heart of stone. He gives us a heart of flesh. And with this new heart, we are in love with Jesus. And it becomes our delight to obey His voice and to do what He's asking us to do. Amen?
Amen.
So my life totally started to change. I started to cry out to God, Lord, I'm already telling everyone about You because that's a desire of my heart. But take me somewhere that I could actually just minister to people there so they can receive salvation and can receive the Holy Spirit and move forward in life with You, Jesus. So to make the long story short, by accident, quote unquote, I get taken by this nun. This was in 1989. To this place called Genesis Home, and it was a home for the homeless with AIDS. And these were the people with AIDS that lived in the streets, you know, drug addicts, homosexuals, prostitutes, pimps, you name it. People that lived that lifestyle. Now they found themselves with AIDS and nowhere to go, and they would come to this place. So this was 1989. Even doctors were not too sure how this could be passed on, how you could get that this virus, whatever. But this nun said, come with me to this place. I want to show you something. I had no idea we were going to a place for the homeless with AIDS. But as I walked into that place, I tell you, I saw an open heaven, and I heard the singing and rejoicing of the angels, and I heard a voice. It was Papa's voice saying, this is where you belong. This is where I have taken you, because I have been crying out to Him, take me to such a place. Anyways, just to give you some testimonies, so many of these people found the love of Jesus. They found Jesus. They found forgiveness. So many healings took place. It was awesome, because a lot of them came to Genesis Home thinking that they were beyond God's forgiveness. Amen? But the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any sin. Amen?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is more merciful than anything. Amen?
Amen.
And so many of them turned around and experienced conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a testimony about a lady there. Her name was Christine. She was a lady in her 50s, and she was a resident there with the AIDS, with the virus. But she was a very nasty person, okay? She was not a pleasant human being. And we went there twice a week with the Word of God, telling them about Jesus. And once a week, I took food for all the residents. They were like 32 residents. And most of them were Latin, so I would take Cuban food or Spanish food because that's what they requested. Anyways, but Christine hated that food, okay? And every time she came into the dining room and she saw the food that I had brought, she, in front of my face, she would go, yuck. You know, she would just look down upon it and walk on and get something else. And I tried to be nice to her, to reach out to her, but she would just turn her face the other way and never a smile in her face. Anyways, so, you know, people that live like that, it's because they have been hurt and wounded. Amen. And there is so much anger inside of them that that's what comes out. So I told the Lord, I'm giving up on her. I said, enough is enough. I've tried, it doesn't work. And the Lord said, no, you're not giving up on her. She's one of my lost sheep. You go after her. I said, okay, Lord, I will go after her. Next time I went to Genesis' house, I'm looking for Christine. She's not anywhere around. I said, where is she? They said, she's in her room. I said, oh, God. Now I have to go inside her room, knock on her door. Oh, but anyways, you told me to go after her, and I'm going to go after her. I knocked on the door of her bedroom, and she says, come in. So I walk inside her room, and there she is lying on her bed, you know, not a smile, nothing. You know, the same old, mean, bitter face. And I said, how are you, Christine? Okay. Is there anything I can do for you? No. Do you want me to get you water, ice cream from the kitchen? Do you? No. I said, I come here twice a week. Do you want me? Do you need batteries? I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. I remember saying, do you need batteries? Do you need razor blades to shave your legs? I mean, I started to think of, no. Then I said, inside of me, I went, help! Jesus, help me! And it's awesome. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge. And it was a vision. In this vision, I saw a double cheeseburger from McDonald's and large French fries. And then I understood what the Lord was saying. Yeah, this was a word of knowledge. Amen? It was.
Yeah.
And then I realized that's what she liked. I said, so Christine, I noticed that every Thursday when I bring food, you do not like what I bring. How about if I bring you a double cheeseburger from McDonald's and large French fries? When I said that, her face went like this. Yes. A big smile from ear to ear. And you know what? From that day on, Christine was open to the gospel. And we were able to pray with her. See? That word of knowledge. The McDonald's double cheeseburger. The double cheeseburger with large French fries. That was the key to her heart. Amen?
Amen.
And
Amen.
When she died in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. See, when in that Life in the Spirit seminar, which is all about the Holy Spirit, is the new life in the Spirit, because the Christian life is a supernatural lifestyle. It's not natural. Amen? The Spirit of God comes, and He gives us everything that we need. Amen?
Amen.
He's loaded with gifts. The gift is the Holy Spirit. Within the Spirit is everything that you need. Amen?
Amen.
When you step Amen. Out in faith to carry on with the works of Jesus, whatever you need will kick in. Amen?
Amen?
So they had told me, you know, you have gifts of healing inside of you. There are prophetic giftings inside of you. There are gifts of miracles inside of you. I mean, you can hear the voice of God. You can prophesy. You can heal the sick. So these, my leaders really exhorted us, you know, to live the new life. Amen?
Amen.
The new life is kingdom life. It's different from what we learned in the world. So I realized now I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm in another kingdom now. So I said, Lord, I want to know the culture of your kingdom. I want to know the ways of the Spirit. And believe me, I had to start deleting, you know, computer terminology. Delete, delete, delete a lot of the garbage that I had learned in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Because there are things in the American culture, in the Cuban culture, there are things that we learned in our family that are totally opposing the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we come into the kingdom, we come with a lot of baggage, a lot of garbage, And now there is a transformation that needs to take place, but this happens, you know, with the Word of God. We have to get into the truth of the Word of God, because the Spirit and the Word work together. This is the most potent force in the universe. This is how God created the world, the earth. And God, the Spirit was hovering over the void, and God spoke, "Let there be light." The Spirit and the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary, the Archangel came with a prophetic word. You're going to be the mother of the Savior. And then the Word of God came, and then the Spirit of God hovered over her. Amen?
Amen.
This is how we are changed and transformed in the presence of the Lord. So my life started to change, and I started to delete a lot of things, things that were not compatible with the kingdom of God. One of the things that I started to learn is I had to change the way that I use my tongue. Amen? Proverbs 18:21, we have the power of life and death in the tongue.
Yes.
With the tongue, we can release blessings or curses. With the tongue, we can release life or death. With the tongue, we can build up or tear down. With the tongue, we can encourage or discourage. Amen?
Amen.
The tongue, read James chapter 3 when you go home, or you can buy my book, There's Power in Your Tongue. I don't have time to go there, but your tongue is the most powerful member in your body.
Amen.
When it comes to the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
So we have to start speaking in total alignment with the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So I started to learn a lot of things that I needed to delete. I started to learn a lot about kingdom living because I had used my tongue all my life in the wrong ways. Amen? To criticize, to gossip, to put down. Amen? To point the finger. So I had to leave all of that behind. Amen? And start learning how to talk like the King talks. Amen? It's complete and total alignment with the kingdom of God. But for that, we need the Word of God. Amen? So I'm trying to say something here. When Jesus died on the cross for us, it was for more than just for us to go to heaven one day. Amen? We are the church. Why are we here now? There is a reason and a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
And it's for more and far more than just going to church on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
And we find that in the scriptures. And when we start doing what the Word of God says for us to do, He will trust us with more. Matthew 10:7-8. This has become like my anthem. And as you go, proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons and raise the dead. Amen?
Amen.
This is normal Christian life. But we're used to dysfunctional. But we need to get into the Word of God so that we know how to live the new life. Amen?
Amen.
And how can I proclaim the gospel with power? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because He puts His words in my tongue and the anointing flows. How can I heal anybody? It's not by my own power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We have gifts of healing inside of us. Yes. How can I prophesy to anybody? It's not by my own flesh. It's by the Spirit of God. So my life started to change totally. And I realized, wow, kingdom life is totally different from what I learned. And let me tell you, I started to speak the Word of God in my prayer group. One of the things that I had to overcome, this is something that I had to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was super shy and timid, okay? I would not speak in front of anybody. That was like the last thing I would ever choose to do in my life. And this is what God has chosen for me now. But I remember the first time that the Lord said, "I want you to give a teaching in the prayer group." I said, "No, I'm too shy, Lord. You know how I am, shy and timid." And I went all through university like this. I would not get up and talk in front of anybody. So the first time that the Lord asked me to speak, I said no. Then the second time, I said, okay, I will do it because now I have understood that if I have your Spirit, I can do it. And I can do it by the power of your Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Amen.
And this is why Paul in Philippians 4:13, I think it's 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I said, yes, I will do it. And I remember getting up that first time in that prayer group. I wrote everything out, and I put the paper in front of my face. And that's how I did it. Amen. And I have not stopped since then. But I have stopped using a paper to cover my face. And I don't really don't have to write anything. Amen. Because it's by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
So as I started to grow in love with the Word of God and believing what the Word of God says, I started to understand, you know, the victory of the cross. Amen. This is what we celebrate in Mass. Mass is not a funeral. Mass is a celebration.
Yes, it is.
On the cross, Jesus defeated the devil once and for all. Amen.
Thank you,
by the power
Thank
of his
you,
blood.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
and we, the church, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have authority in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:19, he has given us the power to tread over every serpent and scorpion and over all the power of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Depression, despair, fear, anxiety, sickness and disease, learning disability. All these things are enemies. We can step all over them. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 2:6, we are seated in the Spirit. In a place of authority, we're seated in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
We are not a bunch of victims.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors in Christ. We are not orphans. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But we, the church, we need to understand this. We here in this planet, we enforce the victory of Calvary until Jesus comes back a second time. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because we have not understood this, the church people, we are like this. Oh God, do something for my sister. Listen, you are empowered to do something. I am empowered to do something. Amen?
Amen.
Why did the Lord give us the Holy Spirit? Why did he give us gifts of the Holy Spirit? Why has he anointed us with the power of God in our lives? It's not so that we can remain like spectators. It's so that we can carry on with the works of Jesus. See, I started to realize all of this. John 14:12, Jesus says, those who believe in me, you will do the same works I've been doing and even greater works. So I started to go deep into, you know, I'm still trying to understand the triumph and the victory of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Ladies and brothers, Jesus on the cross, he who knew no sin, became sin for you and for me. Amen? This King of glory, the beautiful one, the glorious one, the darling of heaven, came down and he became sin for us. He became ugly because sin is ugly. He became sin on that cross for you and for me, so that we could become the righteousness of God, so that the power of sin could be broken over our lives, so that sin could be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
In this covenant of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find this in Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10. Papa does not even remember the sin. Get this in your hearts. Get it in your spirit. Our Father, our Papa, our Abba, doesn't even keep a record of our past sins. That makes me want to jump. Amen. He has no record of my abortion. Amen.
Amen.
Because I ask him for forgiveness. I want to confession. There's no record anymore. It's been washed away by the blood of Jesus.
Thank
Amen.
Jesus. Yes,
so that should make us very happy. Romans 8:1. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I say these things because I have ministered in so many nations, but we Catholics, so many of us, we live under a spirit of guilt, shame, and condemnation.
Yeah.
We have not entered into the freedom that God paid to give to us. Amen?
Amen.
That is not from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let all the guilt and all that shame and that condemnation be broken over our lives today. Amen?
Thank you.
Because the Lord has set us free,
yes.
But we need to believe it. Amen?
Amen?
What else did he do? He took every sickness and every disease on the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our infirmities. The punishment for our peace was upon him. And that word for peace in the Hebrew is shalom, which means peace in every area of our lives. It's more than just the English word for peace. It's a big blessing, shalom, peace in every area. The punishment for our shalom was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. Amen? And 1 Peter 2:24 in the New Testament, Peter says, by his wounds, we were healed. When did your healing take place? It took place at the cross. Amen? Over 2,000 years ago. It's a matter of receiving it by faith. Amen?
Amen?
So these are some of the benefits. Psalm 103 says, do not forget the benefits of the Lord. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He rescues, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He rescues your life from the pit. Amen? He doesn't want us living in a pit of misery. He wants us experiencing the abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to bring you life, and life more abundantly. Amen?
Amen?
So what else did Jesus do on the cross? He took our shame. Psalm 69, verse 7, it says that shame covered the face of Jesus. The shame of my abortion, he took it on the cross so that I could be set free. So that, like David, I could say, you are my glory and the lifter of my head. The shame from your past, the things that were done to you, any abuse of any kind, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, abandonment, rejection. If you came from a dysfunctional family, if your father was an alcoholic, whatever, whatever, anything that causes shame in your life, listen, he took it on the cross so that you could be set free from shame. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. This is wonderful. I'm telling you. What else did he do? Galatians 3:13. He became a curse for us. Every curse he took, he became a curse. What do I mean by a curse? These things that come, these negative things that come through the family tree, or it might come because of sin in our lives, but things like alcoholism, depression, cancer, diabetes. These, when you see things like that repeated, these are signs of a curse. But you know what? In Christ Jesus, they are broken.
Amen.
See, if we do not know our inheritance, we will not know what... If we do not know the word of God and our inheritance, we will remain trapped in ignorance. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If we do not know that he gave us an inheritance, he has given us the kingdom. Amen? If we do not know this, we will be cheated out of our inheritance. Amen? So it's a supernatural lifestyle. There were curses coming down my family tree, curses of diabetes. And let me tell you, when I was pregnant with my second baby, they told me you are a pre-diabetic, you will be a diabetic as you grow older. But I found that Jesus became a curse for me. And I said, in your name, Jesus, this diabetes is broken because you took it on the cross. I'm not a diabetic.
Amen.
I'm not. Thank you, Lord. I had alcoholism coming down my family tree and down my husband's family tree. For my four children, there was alcohol, you know, coming down the generations. But when I discovered, wow, Jesus, you became a curse for me, I broke that curse of alcohol. Well, it was broken at the cross. I just acknowledged it. Amen?
Amen.
You became a curse of alcohol in that cross for my children. And in the name of Jesus, that curse is broken. And let me tell you, my four children are sober. They don't do drugs. And they don't do those things. And it's because I believe I stood in the gap and I just realized, wow, my children don't have to be alcoholics anymore. Just like so many in my family and so many in his family. Amen?
Amen.
So that curse is broken. Thank you, Lord. So it's wonderful to get into the Word of God and apply the Word of God into our lives. Thank you, Lord. What else did Jesus do? He took our poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I think. He became poor for us so that we could enjoy the abundant life. So, no, it's, yeah, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. What else did he do? He took our rejection and our abandonment. Matthew 27, when Jesus was hanging from the cross, he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken us? Why have you forsaken me? And he did it for us so that we could be adopted into his family. Amen? When we give our lives to Jesus, there is an adoption process, and we become family. Thank you, Lord. So, what time is it? Is it time to quit already?
Five minutes.
Well, so life was wonderful. Everything awesome. I knew the Lord. I'm so happy to belong to Jesus. But there was one thing that was not right in my life that really caused me a lot of pain. My husband did not want anything to do with Jesus. This new life, he had no interest whatsoever. And that caused me a lot of pain in my heart and a lot of grief. And 3.5 years later, after I had encountered the Lord Jesus, I encountered two storms. Two storms came against us. One was all the finances, you know, this financial empire is being shaken, and everything started to be lost. I'm not going to get into it. But as the financial situation became worse and worse and worse, my husband's behavior became unacceptable, okay? Suffice it at that, my marriage broke, and I was left behind with three teenagers and one preteen, and all the finances being lost. So I had met Jesus in the best of times. Now I would meet Jesus in the valley of the shadow of death. Amen? Even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're not meant to be stuck in that valley. Amen? We're supposed to walk through it with the Lord. So I got to know Jesus in a different way now. I got to know him as my total and complete healer, as my protector, as my provider, as everything to me. He became everything to me. In John 7:38, Jesus says, those who believe in me out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, I started to use that prayer language like never before. I was praying in this language all day long and reading the Word of God because I was going through such hardship and difficulty. Amen? I know what it is to have a broken heart. I know what it is to be a single mother. I know what it is to remain alone with these kids. But I'm telling you, he is bigger than any situation. Amen? Amen? And when we start using this prayer language, the power of the Holy Spirit is released in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
We are not orphans. I remember having to sell our home in the midst of a financial crisis that was going on in America, another one in 1992. And it was a beautiful home, very expensive. And all the experts said, oh, you will not be able to sell it. Nobody's buying homes now. People that have money are holding on to the money. I said, no, Holy Spirit, you show me how to pray that to have this house sold because I'm not going to lose this house. And so the Lord gave me the strategy, just like Joshua around Jericho, going seven times around Jericho, go seven times around your property. I plead the blood of Jesus north, south, east, and west through the property. I broke any curses over the property. I went around seven times praising the Lord, speaking in my prayer language, singing hymns, and you know what? My house was sold in 2.5 weeks. Thank you, Lord. So I started to experience the victory, amen, that no matter what you go through, Psalm 144, he trains your hands for battle, your fingers for war. 1 John 4:4, he who lives in you is greater than he who's in the world. So by this time, I was already preaching the word of God locally, and I remember when we were moving out of that house, the cry of my heart was, Lord, I want to be able to stay at home with my kids because now they really need me. And I want to preach the gospel in different areas, so open doors. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. So by now, the Lord has taken me to 29 different nations to preach the word of God, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God, to get people into the kingdom, baptized with the Holy Spirit. I've seen so many signs and wonders and miracles around the nations that it's just, let me just tell you one in Uganda, because it's getting time to close. But we were having a worship conference, a week-long worship conference in Uganda, and the Lord said, have a healing service tonight. And I told the people, come ready, we're having a healing service tonight. But before the healing service, we had a worship time, praise and worship, at least an hour, because this is something that I learned in the journey in the desert. Amen? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You can change the atmosphere around you through your praises. Amen?
Amen.
Because he comes to inhabit those praises. He doesn't like the grumbling and complaining. That grieves his heart. That's another teaching. But I learned what to thank God and to praise God in every circumstance. And I saw the atmosphere in me, inside of me, and around me change as I praise the Lord. So now we do a lot of praise and worship conferences around the world. And we were in Uganda, and I said, we're having a healing service, and we're praising and worshiping God. And in the midst of the worship, I see an open heaven, and I see body parts coming down. I'm seeing in the spirit, okay? I'm seeing knees, new sets of knees coming down. I'm seeing eyeballs coming down. I'm seeing livers and hearts coming down. This is in the spirit, amen? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, we can have visions. Amen? We have revelation. We can hear his voice. He communicates with us. So I saw all these body parts coming. I saw intestines coming. Anyways, so I'm telling the people, listen, whatever you need, the Lord is not only going to do healing, it's going to be creative miracles. You're going to receive creative miracles. And I was saying that, and this old man that had come in with a cane, that could hardly walk, just taking little steps like this with a cane, and with thick glasses. This man ran, he ran to where I was without the cane and without the glasses. He received two new knees, and new sets of eyes. Amen?
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. He left behind the cane. He was dancing. This is kingdom, amen? It's different than what we learn in the world. He was dancing. He took off his glasses. He could see perfectly, but he also received spiritual vision. From then on, he could see the throne room of heaven. He could see the worship that was going on in heaven. He came up to me and he said, I have always laughed at you charismatics. I've always made fun of you. I said, these people only waste their time clapping and singing. Listen. We're going to spend eternity clapping and singing and praising the Lord. Amen? We were created to worship, to praise and worship. Amen? This is not a waste of time. This is our ministry to him.
That's right.
And he considers it precious. Amen? We have to grow in the understanding of praise and worship. But anyways, so this man said, I've always laughed at you people. But look now what the Lord has done for me. The next day, his whole family filled a whole pew. He brought his whole family. This is what happens when one person is touched
That's
by God.
True.
Amen?
True.
The whole family will start coming to Jesus Christ. Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes.
We bless you, Lord.
Yes.
Another, I know it's getting time to, but there is a place in Uganda called Yumbe that I love to go because it's over 90% Muslims. And the Lord loves to show off in front of the Muslims. I'm telling you. This is just, he loves it. And in this area, there's only one Catholic church and one Anglican church. Everything else is mosques. But we're holding crusades next to the Catholic church, and the Muslims are coming because they are desperate. Amen? All of us have been created with a Jesus-shaped hole in our hearts. Amen? And only Jesus can fill that space. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not anybody else but Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 4:12, there's only one name by which we must be saved, and it's the name of Jesus.
Yes, it is.
And I do not apologize for that. I'm not politically correct. Amen?
Amen.
I'm all for Jesus. And there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's it. So people are getting saved in this place called Yumbe. Miracles take place, big miracles. a crippled young lady that the mother brought her to us, holding her in her arms because, listen, there is so much poverty there that if you own a bicycle, you're doing good. But this mother carried her daughter in her arms, crippled from the waist down. We ministered to her. It was Acts chapter 3. Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this girl not only walked, she ran, okay, all over the crusade. People were going crazy when they saw this paralyzed young lady now running. Amen?
Amen.
And the priest had her give testimony in the mass. So the following day, they heard about it. People heard about this. A Muslim family brought her daughter. I'm just going very quickly, okay, because I know I have to stop. And this one was paralyzed from birth. And we laid hands on her. And holding on to us, she started to take steps. The mother was weeping. The mother was weeping. And the mother told me, I used to be Catholic, now I'm a Muslim. I said, sister, you better give your life back to Jesus. Because Muhammad is not your savior, it's Jesus. So together, the mother and the daughter gave their lives to Jesus. Anyways, I knew that she would walk on her own, but we had to get into the car and move on. Because we in Africa, everything is different. You have to drive in those areas when it's daylight. Because there's no McDonald's, no AAA, nothing in those roads. Anyways, but I knew that she would walk on her own. And 2 days later, the leader of the renewal calls us and says, that Muslim young lady is walking on her own now. And she got up and walked on her own in front of her Muslim father, who is a Muslim imam. Amen? Yeah. What Muhammad could not do for his daughter, Dr. Jesus did.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. A young lady with AIDS laid hands on her. She has no more AIDS in her blood. She's totally healed of HIV virus. Amen?
Amen.
A young boy that we laid hands on prayed because he suffered trauma during childbirth and the head was slightly enlarged, not super, but slightly. But he was 2 years old and not acting normally. I had a word of knowledge and that woman ran up with a baby, with a child, carrying the child. We laid hands on him, we prophesied over him, and that afternoon we received, that evening, we received a phone call from the mother saying, my boy is acting like a normal two-year-old boy. He's running all over the place. And a year and a half ago when I was there, she came with her son and she showed me her son. The head is totally normal, the body is totally normal, he looks totally normal. Amen. This is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6:1 says that we partner with the Holy Spirit, that we co-labor with the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Spirit of God will not do anything on his own. In order to send a Savior, Mary had to say yes. Amen?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is looking for yeses in all of us today.
Yes.
Because there is a world out there. There's people inside the church that do not know Jesus. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's people out there that are on their way to hell that if we do not tell them about Jesus, they will not get to know him. Amen?
Yes.
There are people that need an encounter with the real Jesus out there. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit. We have to take the gospel out of the walls of the church. We need to take it out into the streets. Amen? We need to prophesy over people. I was in a restaurant in New York. This happens everywhere where I go to eat, in many places. I was there with a priest and two ladies after a session in New York, and we were in a restaurant, and the priest knew the waitress because he goes there a lot. It's an Italian restaurant. He loves Italian food, but anyways, he knew that waitress. And I'm looking at the waitress. She, on the outside, very cheerful, joyful, wonderful servant's attitude. But I looked into her heart, and she was full of fear, anxiety. She was just gripped, you know, without any peace. This fear and this anxiety, this worrying. And the Lord said, tell her that it will all work out. And as she's there picking up the plates, I said, sister, Jesus loves you so much, and he wants me to tell you this, that it will all work out. Suddenly she starts to weep and weep and weep and weep. And she comes back to the table and said, I'm sorry for crying. I said, don't worry. The Lord touched your heart. It's okay that you were weeping. But she said, I'm going through so much difficulty, and I was just asking the Lord, will it all work out? And this is when you spoke that word. And now I have hope to keep moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be a blessing in this planet? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:14, those who are being led by the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. So I could go on and on. I could go on and on. Whatever you have gone through in life, it's not wasted. Amen?
Amen.
I went through separation. I went through a divorce. But Jesus did not abandon me. Papa did not abandon me. The Spirit of God did not abandon me. Amen?
Amen.
His plans for my life prevailed. Amen?
Amen.
I have entered into my prophetic destiny.
Yes.
I know who I am in Christ. And I know who He is in me. I'm not an orphan. I'm a princess. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I have authority. I have power in the Spirit of God. I can see. I carry the kingdom of God inside of me. I am an ambassador for Christ, and so are you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It's a new life. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, what I want to do, if there's anybody here that you have never given your life to Jesus, if you have never taken the step of faith to proclaim Jesus as your Lord and Savior in front of people, amen, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul says, if you confess with your mouth, again we see the power of the tongue, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So if you've never taken that step of faith, can you stand up wherever you are? And we're going to pray this morning. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You're going to leave this place different from the way you entered here. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
This is between you and God. Close your eyes. Forget about what people think. Let go of that fear of man or what people think. If you have never, ever publicly given your life to Jesus, this is the moment to do so. Amen? We're going to lead you in a prayer. And if you're thinking, I wonder if I have ever done this, you have never done it. Because you remember that day that you do it. I remember the day that I did it. So if you've never done it, just stand. You can start playing some music, not singing, but just music. Thank you, Lord. Shikara. Lord, I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you're touching hearts this morning. Release conviction this morning. Whoever has never done this step of faith, taking this step of faith to commit their life to Jesus, let them stand up and come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This is the day of salvation. This is a moment of grace. This is the most important decision in your life. Amen?
Amen.
This will determine your life. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. As Catholics, we get taken to be baptized and confirmed, and this is wonderful. Our parents usually make that decision for us, but we want to make our own personal decision. Amen? It's no longer because my mom. It's no longer because my daddy. It's now because I want to belong to him.
Yes.
And I want to be forgiven. I want a new life. So if that's you, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else that you need to come up and get right with God? Get into proper synchronization with heaven, with the kingdom, proper alignment? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you for the gift of salvation, Lord. We thank you for all that you went through for us, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid for us, that we have been ransomed by your blood. You have paid a price for us, and it's the price of your blood. The Bible says that he has not rescued us with gold and silver. We have not been redeemed by gold or silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Just lift up your hands right now as a sign of surrender. And I want you to say, Papa, today,
today
I turn to you now.
I turn to you now.
I have realized that I need to give my life to Jesus.
That I need to give my life
to surrender my life into his hands.
To surrender my life into his
hands. I repent today.
I
I have a change of mind.
Lord Jesus,
forgive me.
Cleanse me with your blood.
Wash me clean this morning. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross you died for me. That you paid the price for all my sin. That you took my place on that cross. That my punishment came on you on that cross. So that I could be forgiven. And set free. Wash me clean this morning. I renounce Satan. And all his lies. And I renounce sin. And now I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. I thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation and of eternal life. I thank you for the new life,
for
the abundant life. And now I want you to fill me.
I want you to
baptize me
with
the Holy Spirit and fire so that I can experience the fullness of life.
So that I can
carry on with your works.
Thank
you, Jesus. If there's anybody here, stay here, don't move. If there's anybody here that you want this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this fullness of the Spirit, come to the front. And we're going to also release this prayer language, which is so powerful. Because the prayer language, as many people think, it's not the least of the gifts. God does not give junk. This prayer language releases the power of God in your life. Amen? It releases the voice of God. It releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It releases revelation, and you get strengthened like a battery that's being charged. Amen? Think of your cell phone. You can have that newest version of the iPhone, but if it's not charged, it won't work. Is that true? It's the same with us. When we use this prayer language, we get charged with power, and we get strengthened in the inner man. Amen? So, Pat, you can have your people come and start laying hands for this baptism. So lift up your hands and say, I thank you, Lord,
for
the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I need to be clothed with power from on high.
Release your power in my life now. Baptize me now with the Holy Spirit and with fire. As in a new Pentecost. I need your Holy Spirit. I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let them be released now.
As
rivers of living water. Lift up your hands and say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me now. Say, Jesus, baptize me now. With the Holy Spirit. And with power. With fire. I want to carry on with your works. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.